Chapter 25, Let's Talk Turkey by Willie Snow Etheridge. 25, A Lobster and Tomato Stew, and I don't mean bisque. Our curved end of the Gulf of Izmit had no sun when I awake the next morning. Gray rain clouds sank like the top of a circus tent above us and around us. But on the opposite shore, beyond the first low mountain range, the second range was lighted up as if for a television broadcast. "Where's the sun?" I asked the roommate after scanning the sky everywhere. "It is behind those clouds above that first range, there in the east." "You do know where the east is, don't you?" I was saved from answering by a member of the crew joining us at the rail to graze at those brilliantly illuminated slopes. "Have you ever been to Hawaii?" he asked. "No. Those mountains look just like Hawaii. So brightly green and the shadows of the clouds passing over them." I said to myself when I first saw this place, "This is just like Hawaii." Even the roommate was dumbfounded. He, who always knows everything, had never once considered the similarities of Turkey and Hawaii. Hawaii doesn't have ECA, I offered to cover up his embarrassment. "A heliotrope blue caique with its rigging tied to heaven-high mast and its hold loaded with bales of waste paper for a nearby paper mill swung into the pier next to us. Maybe you should visit the mill and see if you can get some newsprint," I suggested to the roommate, who is always looking for newsprint. "Hell, Turkey doesn't make enough paper for her own use. And anyway, I don't suppose you'd have time. We're sailing this afternoon, aren't we?" "Tonight, I understand, between 12 and 1. The second mate, coming by, said yes, we'd definitely sail around midnight. The lighter and crew had arrived the afternoon before, had worked all night, and had only taken off for Istanbul at 8 o'clock in the morning. Another lighter was due from Istanbul at any minute to finish up the job. "There's not too much more in number 5 holds," said the mate, "about 100 tons. We ought to be able to get that off in 12 hours, and the hold up aft is moving nicely. Yes, midnight, I'd say." The roommate, of course, beamed. He had already stayed in Izmit a day longer than scheduled, but as we had begun to ask, what was a day to a freighter except money? All morning, we walked the deck and scanned the blue sea for the lighter. There were many sailboats lazing about and curving caiques puffed by, but no lighter. "Is the lighter really coming from Istanbul?" I asked the second mate at lunch. He shrugged. "From Istanbul or China? God knows which. I'm sure the Turks don't." The captain was not at lunch. He had gone ashore to locate a telephone, but at 2 o'clock he appeared red-faced and perspiring. After a terrific battle with a long-distance operator, he had reached a shipping agent in Istanbul and had asked where the hell was the lighter. The shipping agent had muttered, at least so the captain reported, that it had left Istanbul at 8 o'clock in the morning. But how could it have left at 8, the captain wanted to know, and not put in an appearance at Izmit by noon? It was, at most, a 4-hour run. The agent hadn't been able to answer that one. Now, of course, there was no chance of sailing by midnight. If the lighter came shortly, we might be able to get off before dawn. That is, if the crew worked straight through. It was a long afternoon of waiting, and I grew restless. Mr. Big was swimming off the dock with the room steward and a few Turkish boys, and the roommate was first sleeping, then reading, and then just sitting in a deck chair dreaming. "Why don't we go ashore and do something?" I asked him. "No," he answered bluntly. "I've got myself in a relaxed mood, and I don't intend to stir out of it." But the arrival of the lighter in the late afternoon stirred him, and for an hour he stood by the rail and watched the unloading. "These are the dumbest goddamn Turks I ever saw," he mourned miserably. "They've been working for an hour now, and they've got out exactly 3 slings of rails. At this rate, we'll be here until Christmas." The second mate, though, was more optimistic. "Each sling load," he said, "weighed about 6 tons, and so the hole should be emptied by 5 o'clock in the morning. And whenever we were finished unloading, we would go." "The minute we finish, we sail," he said. 4, 5, 6. This so cheered the roommate, he agreed to go ashore with me to find lobsters. No greater offer could be made, for he is allergic to lobster and has even broken into hives just watching me eat them. We had been told by many people in Istanbul that İzmit had the best lobsters in the world, and maybe it does, but the roommate and I couldn't find them. We didn't know the Turkish word for lobster, and we never found a person all evening who knew the meaning of the English word. I tried to show the shape and size of a lobster with my hands. I went into the kitchens and peered into the ice boxes. Once I even tried to crawl like one, but no lobster. Finally, weary, the roommate, of course, was weary to begin with. That hour as a deck overseer had undone him. We settled for slices of melon and newspaper bags of hazelnuts. Gobbling down the melons and chomping on the nuts, just like everyone else around us, we felt as Turkish as Turks. A few more layers of suntan and some gold teeth, and we wouldn't even have to take out citizenship papers. We arrived back at the ship and got into one hullabaloo. The Chinese steward and the Negro cook were trying to bring on board a 2-bushel basket of tomatoes and cucumbers, but the Turkish customs officer who stayed on the ship while it is tied up wouldn't allow it. Of course, the Turkish officers spoke no English, and the steward and cook spoke no Turkish. Yet, even so, they all understood enough to be at loggerheads. "Please do something," cried the cook to the roommate and me. "We're out of fresh vegetables, and we're just beginning these on, and we're just bringing these on for everybody to eat. But they say we can't." "How absurd," I said in my tactful way. "Everyone has been bringing on all the tomatoes and melons he could carry. Why don't you just take them on to the galley?" Now, spoke the roommate sternly. "What do you mean? What do you want to do? Go to jail?" "They say no, and they mean no. You ought to know by now you can't take chances with the Turks." "But why can't they carry them on?" I demanded, turning to the Turks as if they knew English. "They're just to eat. We aren't even trying to smuggle them into the United States." The steward, the cook, the Turks, the roommate joined in the argument with me and with gestures. It was as fine a free-for-all as I was ever party to. Finally, the night watchman, who was Turkish but who spoke a little English, showed up and took the floor. "Madam," he yelled at me, for it seems I was talking louder and faster than anybody. "Madam, it is allowed to bring on board 2 kilos per person, not more. If more, must pass through customs." "All right," I agreed. "Where is customs?" The watchman threw his hands above his head. "Customs closed, madam, not open." "That's the trouble," explained the cook. "Customs won't open until 8 or 9 o'clock, and we sail at 5. Again, I tried persuasion. "Please," I said, smiling and spreading out my hands in the old gesture of appeal. "We need tomatoes. We love tomatoes." The officers spouted Turkish. "Madam, it is not you," interrupted the watchman. "The officers say it is not you. It is the customs. Only 2 kilos per person. No more." "So be it then," I announced. "Everybody will take 2 kilos. I had finally got command. The roommate said that when I get to heaven, I'm going to say to St. Peter, "Well, St. Peter, you can relax now. I'm here and we'll take over." Though I had no idea, of course, what 1 kilo was, much less 2, I swooped down into the basket and gathered up all the cucumbers I could carry and ran with them to the galley. Passing the chief electrician on the way, I said, "Please find everybody you can and rush down to the gangplank and gather up 2 kilos of cucumbers and tomatoes." By the time I returned to the scene of action, the cook had found 3 boxes and was passing these out to the roommate, the steward, and a member of the crew who had just dropped by. "What a silly business," I cried, laughing. "Not to the Turks," the roommate reminded me tartly, "but evidently to the Turks, too. For suddenly, before any of us understood what was happening, they waved the steward away with a whole big basket. Grateful, the roommate and I hurried to our cabin for a package of cigarettes, but the steward had the same idea and was more fleet. He arrived first with his 2 packages. End of chapter 25.